If you're looking for me, I'm in between the cornfields, the wind farm, and the soybean sprouts. Let's get after it. Week 6. Trigger warning, this is Caffeinated Christianity. You know, up until about 24 hours ago, I was a huge fan of Amazon Prime. I think Amazon Prime is an incredible service. I think Jeff Bezos really thought of something quite genius. Well, I'm sure he probably wasn't the one that thought of it, but Amazon Prime was a pretty genius thing to come up with. Especially for me as a student, I pay a really, really small fee for Amazon Prime as a student. And up until about 24 hours ago, I was a huge fan. But my watch band broke, and I had to buy a new watch band, and it took it like 5 days for it to not get here. So my arm is naked, I never know what time it is, and now I'm upset because Amazon Prime really let me down on that one. I mean, I'm 3 hours from Chicago. How hard was it to get my watch band here? Sorry for the inconvenience. We'll have to refund you. Man, I need a watch band. I don't want the refund. I want the watch band, dog. I can't even tell the time now. I guess I'll have to measure the shadow of things on the ground. Ridiculous. But anyways, I digress. Welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee, every time it gets brewed and poured into a cup, is black, and the opinions, every time they get recorded and posted, are unqualified. I'm your host, Cooper Short. And today, we are on episode 6, week 6 of the Cornfield Chronicles. First, our verse of the episode, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I really, really like that verse. And the reason I like that verse is because I like this idea of hope. I like this idea of I can do anything for one more second. I like this idea of the battle is already won. That's why I say it at the end of the podcast every episode, because we know that Jesus is, was, and will be who he said he was, is, and will be. So all we have to do is cling to the notion that Jesus never lets us down. And with that behind us, man, we can do all that we want to do. And we can do all that he's called us to do, knowing that he's got everything under his control. Great verse. Solid verse. I actually really, really like the book of Hebrews, even how dense and hard it is to understand. I'm a big fan of the book of Hebrews. So anyways, let's go ahead and jump into this. Week 6, episode 6. Cooper, what are you talking about? What is the Cornfield Chronicles? Well, God called me to serve as an interim pastor at Forsyth Baptist Church in Forsyth, Illinois, which is 12 hours from my home, Kings Mountain, North Carolina. And so all the things I'm going to write and talk about for the, you know, the duration of the summer, we're going to be in some part influenced by this experience and everything that's going on here. So instead of trying to just work my way around being inspired by what's going on here, I figured I'd just do a podcast series of what I'm actually doing here. So if you haven't heard the first 5 episodes, I encourage you to go back and listen to those because they'll give you a lot more context on what I'm even really talking about. But yeah, here's my recap of my 6th week here, chilling between the cornfields and the solar farm in Forsyth, Illinois. Last week, let's see, I preached Stephen's stoning in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. That may or may not have become probably my favorite passage of Scripture. Honestly, it's just so dense, man. There's so many things you could talk about, so many angles you could take. But truly, it's an incredible passage, and kind of the angle I took was Stephen in those last few moments of his life proves to us what real Christianity is. And one of my favorite things I got to talk about was Stephen being able to see the throne room, and the book of Acts records that Jesus was standing in the throne room, and we know from the end of the book of Mark that Jesus has gone to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. And so, you know, I, along with a lot of other scholars and commentary writers and theologians and things like that, like to think that Jesus was standing to receive Stephen into heaven. Now, we can never be for sure on why he was doing that, but just, I mean, what a cool image. There are 11 visions of the throne room of heaven in the Bible. 11 visions. And Stephen got to see one of those at the end of his life. mean, how incredible. And just the tenacity with which Stephen stood up and said, listen, I don't answer to you guys. I answer to Christ. Do what you want to do. I don't care. Was awesome. Really, really very powerful passage to preach. Really, really enjoyed that. What else did I do this week? Man, I worked a ton. You know, I cut grass during the day with a local business in town. And man, this week was just, it was long. You know, we clocked a couple of long days. Monday was like an 11 and a half hour day. Tuesday was a 12-hour day. And I know a lot of you work days like that to begin with. But I'm telling you, when you're running around cutting grass as fast as possible in the heat, man, it really gets to you. So work was a little tough this week, but I had a good time. In light of working a lot this week, I ended up being able to train a kid. He's actually the son of the man and woman that own our company. His name's Aiden. That was a really cool experience because Aiden's only 15 going on 16. And so I felt close enough to Aiden to relate, but I felt older than him enough to feel like I could kind of mentor him and try and show him how to do things better, because I know what it feels like to be the young guy that doesn't know how to do stuff. And so I really did my best to try and help train him, and I hope he learned some things. But that was a really cool experience. I don't get to do things like that a lot anymore because I'm not home around my home church and around my former youth group. And so I don't really get a lot of opportunities to work with younger kids like that. So that was a pretty cool experience. I had a good time with Aiden this week. Let me tell you about this. Okay, so this was sweet. So I really, really like antique stores. I really like antique shops. I just think antiques are sweet. I really like to go in those stores and look at... one of my favorite things to look at is old Americana. I like old posters and signs and cups and, you know, toys and old stuff like that. I think that stuff's really cool. And there's a huge antique shop in Decatur, Illinois, which is like 10 minutes down the road. And it's called the Wabash or Wabish or Wabash or W-A-B-A-S-H. I don't know how to say that. Antiques Depot. So I had the day off yesterday. So I was like, hey, I'm going to go check that place out. You know, I got really nothing to do here in the middle of the day. I had to go to the grocery store. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go check this place out. I really like antiques. And man, that place was sweet. They had all this really cool. One of the coolest things I saw was they had this section. One of the stalls that was set up in there was all old sports stuff and old Americana. And one of the displays had old campaign buttons in it, old like Nixon, Carter campaign buttons in it, which was really cool. They were authentic, you know, 80s, 90s, 70s era, 60s era, you know, campaign buttons. So I thought that was really cool. But something that I actually walked away from the Antiques Depot with was a new Bible. Something I've gotten into recently over the course of the last about a year is collecting Bibles. My goal is to collect one of every publication of each major translation. That's going to take a lifetime to collect. I'll never collect them all. But basically, I really like unique Bibles and I like iconic Bibles. And one I managed to pick up yesterday at this antique store in mint condition for $12 was the 1976 KJV Prince of Peace edition. I'm sure that means probably nothing to you. It didn't mean a whole lot to me till I got home and researched it. First off, it comes in its own wooden box, its own mahogany wooden box with a picture of Jesus on the inside of it. So that was pretty sweet. And it's a white Bible, KJV, hardback. And the unique thing about the Prince of Peace edition is it's almost, I don't want to say it's like a counseling Bible because that's an actual thing, but it's almost like a counseling Bible. Its unique feature is it has this huge concordance at the beginning that's really centered around dealing with loss, dealing with rough times. What's the word I'm looking for? It's a concordance that's meant to bring you peace. That's why it's called the Prince of Peace edition. But I found that Bible. It was in literally mint condition. No writings, no page tears, nothing. It cost me $12. I mean, you can't even buy a Bible today brand new, mint condition. That's a solid Bible for $12. So I was like, yeah, I'm picking that up. Pretty sweet. So I added it to my collection. And just sitting here looking at my collection, I think I counted last night. I'm up to about 19 Bibles now. Now, they're not all unique like the Prince of Peace edition, but I've got some cool ones. I mean, I've got the Story Bible that's written like a book. They took all the numbers and labels out of the NIV. I've got the Superhero Bible, which has like these kind of comic book type pictures of major characters. I've got a bilingual Bible, which is probably one of my favorites. And actually, I picked this up a couple weeks ago. I've got a Freemason's Bible, a Masonic Bible, which is kind of weird. I didn't know that was a thing, and I hope to study more into it and see what in the world that's even about, because the Freemasons are pretty weird anyways. But yeah, man, picked up another Bible this week to add to my collection. Pretty excited about that, man. I love Bibles. Really, really like Bibles. Using them, reading them, having them. Man, I love the Word of God. I love all the different editions we have, all the different translations, the different covers, the different... I really, really like Bibles. And besides that, man, that's pretty much week six of Forsyth, Illinois. Now, what are my takeaways from week six? Here's takeaway number one. People don't really understand ministry. I got into a conversation with my coworker about writing a sermon, and it kind of like blew his mind that it takes a long time to write a sermon. Now, you know, on average, I think I clock 8, 10-ish hours on a sermon per week. You know, that's about how much time I spend creating a sermon. And so, you know, right now doing that and cutting grass on the side, I mean, I'm basically my whole week's busy because I do a little bit Monday, Wednesday, Thursday night. Friday, Saturday, I'm pretty much working on it, you know, for 4 or 5 hours both days. And so, you know, it doesn't really bother me that much to be that busy, but I mean, I'm that busy. And the guy I work with, he didn't really get that. Like, he thought it took like an hour to write a sermon. And that's what a lot of people think. I think a lot of people don't fully understand all that goes into being a pastor. And not that I'm a pastor now, or not that I really know what I'm doing at all, but one of the ladies of the church, sweet as can be, her name's Dawn. Every time I see Dawn, Dawn is worried that I'm going to get bored. She's worried that I haven't had enough to do. And I try to tell her all the time, like, no, trust me, I have got plenty to do. And it's just funny that people don't really fully understand what all goes into it. And that's neither here nor there. That's not really a good or bad takeaway, kind of a neutral takeaway. But I've just kind of noticed that this week, that I've had a lot of those kind of small conversations with people that they don't really fully understand everything that goes into trying to preach, trying to work at a church, you know, trying to juggle two things. Which leads me to my next takeaway. Takeaway number two of week six is I was made for this. I was made to be busy, to talk to people. You know, God's really equipped me to do this. It's amazing how well everything goes when you're doing what God's called you to do. But in light of all that, I'm not called to the bivocational pastorate. What does that mean? It means I am not called to work a secular job during the day and try and be a pastor all other times of the week. Like, it's killing me. It's killing me because there's so many other things I want to do. You know, I want to go on visits. I want to, you know, talk to people at the church. I want to try and do some Bible study material. You know, I want to try and read some more. I want to work on my sermons longer, but man, I just can't, you know, having to work a job during the day where I'm working, you know, 10, 11, 12 hour shifts. I don't have really the free time or the space to do much else besides cut grass, eat dinner, take a shower, work on a sermon, go to bed. And so I realized this week, it's really kind of come to a head this week. I am not called to bivocational ministry because it really kind of stresses me out a little bit. Not that I can't handle it, but I feel like I'm not doing enough. I feel like I'm spending a lot of time doing things that I don't really want to do and not a lot of time doing the things I need to do. I really feel like I've been a little hindered on that avenue. So I realized this week, man, I'm not called to bivocational ministry. I don't think it's my shtick right now. Maybe God will change that down the road, but right now I don't feel confident that He's calling me that. And my third takeaway, man, it's gonna be hard to go home. It's not that I don't want to see my family. It's not that I'm not homesick. It's not that I don't want to, you know, see everybody. And you know, I'm a big proponent of change. I really like things to change rapidly. I'm all about trying new stuff, but it's going to be hard to leave. It's going to be hard to leave for a lot of reasons. It's going to be hard to leave these people because they're awesome, and I've had a great time, and I really feel like I'm a part of this now. And so it's going to be weird to just kind of drop that and leave. But I think the biggest reason it's going to be hard to go home is because nobody's going to get it. Nobody's going to get what happened here this summer if they weren't here. And that's nobody's fault. And that's not me trying to be a baby, but, you know, I'm going home July 29th. I got to be back at school for football August 1st. And No one at Presbyterian College is going to give a crap about anything I did here this summer, you know, apart from, you know, the few close friends I have that are in my Bible study. You know, they're going to want to know because they've been keeping touch these last few weeks. But I don't know. It's hard to come do something like this that's so spiritually powerful and moving, and then to go home and realize that, like, nobody cares because nobody was there. So they don't really ask about it or anything. I don't know. I mean, with the exception of my family and my girlfriend and a couple other people, like, nobody really, a lot of people don't even know that I was doing this. And if they do, they don't really care. And that's fine. I don't need to be the center of attention, but I really itch to share this experience with people because, man, God's doing some huge stuff here. And God's showing me a lot of things about myself. And I really like to be an encouragement to people. And I don't know, it's going to be hard to go home and get into another reality because the reality here is the one I'm living currently, but it's going to be a different reality when I get home. It's going to be completely different commitments, completely different people, completely different scheduling. And I don't know, man, it's going to be hard to go home and get back into that. It's going to be hard to go home and get back into the swing of things because I feel so comfortable here. I feel so comfortable doing exactly what God's called me to do, which is to preach and to help serve a church. And it doesn't feel like I need to leave. It feels like I need to stay, but I know that the situations and the circumstances, they don't permit that. So it's going to be hard to leave. There'll definitely be some tears shed. I'm definitely kind of not looking forward to having to leave, but you know, I'm always reminded of the story of the demon-possessed man, which is in Mark chapter 4, 5, 6, somewhere right in there at the beginning. And, you know, there's a demon-possessed man that lives out in this graveyard. And Jesus goes out there to see him. And everybody's like, man, you don't want to do that. The guy's crazy. He's walking around, you know, naked in this graveyard, crazy, you know, just demon-possessed. And Jesus comes out there and heals him. And immediately upon his healing, what the man wants to do, the man says, I want to go with you, Jesus. I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, no, what I need you to do is I need you to go home. And I need you to go home and tell everybody about what's happened to you. And since I'm only 20 and a half, I don't have a family. Well, at least, you know, I don't have like a wife and kids is what I mean. I don't have a career. I just have my little terse, you know, here and there childhood experiences. And something that I've had to constantly be reminded of over the last several years is I have these really unique opportunities that God blesses me with to do something really, really cool and awesome and amazing and powerful, but they always have to end because this is not where God's calling me to be. God's always calling me to go home. God's calling me to do things that are impactful on me and from me, but ultimately he's also calling me to go home. July 29th, God's calling me to go home. And that's hard, but that's the way it is because I'm not ready to be in the pastorate yet. You know, God's got a lot of things He's got to teach me and show me. And you know, more than anything, I've made commitments to go finish my last year of college. I've made commitments to go back and play another year of football for my team. And you know, going home is just in the cards right now. And so that's what I've got to do. But I just have to keep that at the forefront of my mind that at the end of the day, even though we want to stick around and do things that are awesome, man, a lot of times God calls us to go home. And so that's what I'm really working through right now and thinking about and, you know, just blessed to have been here. I know I've got a couple more weeks and I'm going to try and savor them as much as possible and try and help this church as much as possible. But man, you know, just can't thank God enough for this experience. It's been absolutely priceless on a lot of levels and it's going to be hard to leave. My Jesus moment of this week actually came on Thursday night. I had the opportunity to talk to my buddy Thomas Broom. We met in college my freshman year. He was a senior. We played football together. And he actually realized over the course of my just knowing him that he was actually experiencing the call to ministry. And so we got to talk the other night for like 4 hours, you know, just about everything. We keep in touch and we kind of bounce ideas off each other and stuff like that. And I miss him. I miss seeing him every day and I miss hanging out with him at school. But he's actually in seminary doing some big stuff, making me proud to know him. He's a pretty remarkable person. But the reason that's my Jesus moment is because, well, a couple reasons. One, it's a really, really unique thing and a really, really necessary thing when you're called to ministry to have someone that you're close to that also is called to ministry because we just see the world differently. And being able to bounce ideas off Thomas and being able to get real, you know, pastoral feedback off of one another is crucial to our success as future pastors. And man, it's just, it's so cool because the first 15 minutes I knew Thomas, you know, we realized we were going to be good friends. And it's been amazing to watch his life progress as a third party because, you know, he went from just meeting me to thinking about ministry, to being called to ministry, to now, man, he's full-fledged, absolutely gifted at what he does, you know, and he's definitely called to ministry. It's been cool to be a part of that process, and every time I talk to him, man, I just think about how much he means to me and how much that relationship that we have, being able to see the world the same, is so crucial to my growth, not only as a believer, but my growth as a future pastor, because without him pouring into my life like he does, man, I don't know how successful I would be at things like this. You know, I really appreciate his relationship. I appreciate the relationship I have with my pastors at home and with the pastor whose church I go to while I'm at school, man. Absolutely priceless relationships that have made me the believer I am and made me the future pastor that I am and am going to be. And, I love Thomas Broom. He's awesome. And just getting to talk to him the other night was great. We haven't talked in a couple weeks, and it's good to catch up, good to talk about some stuff. And it was, man, just love that guy. Absolutely love that guy. Your CHH song of the episode. Listen, I'm hype about this. So there's an artist. His name's John Keith. I've been on the wave since John Keith came out with any of his music. John Keith's super talented. He actually sounds like Sway Lee, if you know who that is. If you don't, just Google it. John Keith is solid. He's with King's Dream Entertainment. And he came out with a song last week, which is also my song of the episode, which was David, featuring Derek Minor, Joey Vontez. Well, that is on an album that came out yesterday called Olympus. First off, Olympus is great. Olympus is a great album. So good. The album cover art is ridiculous. The album's just phenomenal, man. The album is so good. And so my song of the episode is the song Bag by John Keith featuring No Big Deal. If you've listened to this at all, you know that No Big Deal is my favorite rapper of all time. I think No Big Deal is wicked talented. And this song is no exception. This song might be moving its way up to be my number one song of all time. This song is really good. It is such a banger. The instrumental is flawless. The flow is ridiculous. Both the verses are incredible. I really like John Keith's voice. I like his delivery. And of course, if No Big Deal's on a song, you already know it's in my library. Man, an absolutely incredible song and an even better album. So I highly, 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 highly encourage you, if you're a Christian at all, to at least sit down and give Olympus one full listen. You don't even have to like rap music, but man, you know, just let me go through some of the track list really quick and just tell you what I'm thinking about this album. I mean, the song Olympus, awesome. The song David, awesome. The song Bag, which I just told you, is great. The song One of You, when he's really talking about his insecurities and dealing with his past struggles, man, really, really powerful song. The song Paradise 2 is a great song. I mean, borderline a worship song. You know, just him really talking about, like, despite the fact that he's a broken sinner, right, Christ loves him anyways, and Christ gave him paradise, regardless of the fact that he never does anything right. And, man, I can't say enough good things about this album. It's a really good album, and I've been a John Keith fan. I haven't liked everything he's come out with, but, man, this album really, really blew my socks off, and great album. Bag by John Keith featuring No Big Deal. Absolute banger of a song. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in. Of course, I'll be more than happy to reimburse you for the brain cells. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Calf Christ. You can check out calfchrist.com. It's pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ. John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners. And remember, and please do not ever forget that the battle... it's already won, dog. Audi.